We want to start in Dorchester. Five men were shot at the Franklin Field development there last night. One died. They had been holding an outdoor birthday party. The Boston Globe identified 43-year-old Rolando Verdejo as the man who lost his life. The shooting was not the only act of violence in our community last night. A 17-year-old boy from East Boston was stabbed at Revere Beach, and on Massachusetts Avenue, one person was shot and another person was stabbed. Community leaders and police are concerned about the violence we're seeing in the city. Joining us to talk about it is Talia Rivera, Director of Street Outreach, Advocacy, and Response for the City of Boston. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Talia.
Thanks for having me, Tiziana.
So what's on your mind today after last night, Talia?
Oh my gosh, what's on my mind? obviously we have been strategizing and just trying to figure out, like, how do we continue to do outreach amidst this pandemic? And it's been something we've been dealing with and grappling with for the last 2 months or so. But it's rough, you know, it's rough when any person loses their life. But yeah, the streets have been pretty hectic lately.
What's making it so hard to do your work?
Well, I mean, it's difficult, one, because of, you know, COVID-19 and all the different rules and, you know, regulations that have been put in place for us, the stay-at-home advisory, the practice in social distancing. And obviously, we want to make sure that our street workers are safe. So we have created a modified outreach plan so that we could at least be present. Because one of the things that we've noticed pretty early on at the beginning of this pandemic is that the young people were out. You know, the young people were out in parks. They were still playing in basketball courts. So it was, you know, virtually impossible for us to completely stay at home. So we had to come up with some sort of plan so that we could keep touching the young people that we service.
Talia, can you put it in perspective for us? We've seen a number of announcements and gatherings by community leaders and police in the last few weeks concerned about community violence. Are we seeing an uptick? Is there something more going on this year than in past years? Not that past years have been okay, because obviously no amount of community violence is okay.
Absolutely. I mean, to be honest, when you look at the data, no, it's not that much different, right? So last year from January to this time, May, there was probably about 12 fatal shootings. This year, from January to May, there's only been 13. So we're only up one. What I really feel like is heightening this situation is that the world has stopped because of this pandemic, and we're paying a lot more attention. So it really feels like, you know, there's this major uptick. And compared to last year, there really isn't, right? Our world has stopped, but the world of these young people that we service has not. And I feel like we're paying more attention now, right? We're staying at home. We're sitting on our couches. We're watching the news. So it's heightened for us.
That's such a conundrum, Talia, because people who are active in trying to solve community violence and raise awareness of issues are often so frustrated that on a daily basis, the broader community isn't paying attention. And now it took a pandemic to get people to pay more attention.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's both a good and bad thing, right? Because then there's all this added pressure on outreach workers, is this added pressure on BPD. But the reality is we really are doing all we can, right? You know, I always say to folks, they're like, you know, outreach workers should deter violence. And I feel like that's an unfair expectation for us. I feel like it's an unfair expectation for BPD, because if we really could, we would, right? So that just shows us that there's just a lot more work that needs to be done to curb violence.
I want to put the economy into this if it's appropriate to do so. Later in the show, we're going to talk about the thousands of people in Massachusetts who are newly turning to food banks, what hunger looks like.
Yeah.
But there is this larger economic shutdown looming. I know Reverend Jeffrey Brown, founder of RECAP, which is Rebuilding Every Community yeah. Around Peace, one of the architects of the Boston Miracle. He said that economics is playing a part like it always does.
Yeah, I mean, so this is the thing. Like, so there have been some communities that have really been hit hard. Obviously, people are losing their jobs. You know, you see reports of people who have never used a food bank using a food bank. But then, you know, I look at our community. I'm looking at Roxbury, Dorchester, and Mattapan with people who are frequently using pantries, the food pantries. So it is obviously, you know, so people have lost their jobs. That's an issue. But there are still tons of people in our community who have been without jobs, right? Who didn't have jobs to lose. So that's played a role, but it's played a role well before this pandemic.
And I wonder how to think about the conversations we've been having about how communities of color, low-income communities, have been disproportionately impacted by the virus itself and by the economic blows caused by the virus. What do you think of that in this context?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard. Like, I heard someone say, I think I saw it on Facebook, that social distancing is a privilege. You know, when you live in a household where with a parent, maybe a grandparent, two or three cousins, you know, an uncle who's coming in and out. Like, it's almost impossible to practice social distancing. So it does. It's unfortunate.
What about the curfew, Talia? We know Boston Mayor Marty Walsh has said the curfew is going to continue. There is a curfew in place. The shootings last night happened, I believe, after that time. Is the curfew just not being enforced? Is it not taken seriously? How do we think about that?
Yeah. Well, the curfew is a suggestion, right? It's not mandatory. So that's the first thing. Unfortunately, you just can't control people. People are going to do what they do. And unless we actually mandate the curfew, you know, I feel like we will continue to see people out and about.
So, Talia, there's one more issue I want to bring in, and then I'm going to bring in another voice for a minute. You probably know that Police Commissioner William Gross has repeatedly and pointedly been saying that he's concerned that the policy to do COVID-19 related releases, both of some pretrial detainees and some paroling of some convicted prisoners, could be playing a role here. He posted about that specifically on his first personal Facebook page last night on his way to this scene. We know DA Rachel Rollins isn't convinced. Prior to last night, she had told the Globe none of the individuals involved with violence before last night were COVID related that they knew of, although there was still some research being done. What role, if any, do you believe this release policy is playing in the violence that we're seeing right now?
It's hard to say one because our department is not specifically looking at that and tracking that data. But obviously, you know, there are young people who have been arrested for firearms and who have been released back into the community. One of the things that we've been working on is really collaborating and coordinating with the DA's office, BPD, so that as these young people are coming home, you know, if we can connect to them, we're trying to. But it's hard. It's a very hard predicament. You know, we certainly don't want anyone to get sick, you know, but at the same time, you know, it's complicated when you're releasing individuals back into the community that have been dangerous and terrorizing our neighborhoods. So it's complicated.
I'm going to ask you to sit tight for just a minute there because I want to build on that by bringing in another voice, John Feinman, the founder and executive director of Inner City Weightlifting. Inner City Weightlifting is a nonprofit that connects with at-risk men, some of whom may be affiliated or active in gangs or have been formerly incarcerated, connects them with a place to connect, work out, and find jobs. John, welcome. You've been listening in. How are you? And what are you thinking about what you've heard?
I'm doing well, and I think I'm fortunate to say that. Thank you for having me on. I guess what I'm thinking is it comes down to caring for people and valuing people, not just when an event happens that rocks us to a core, but all the moments in between, big and small. And I think until we get there as a society and not just approach issues through a lens of criminality, but instead through a lens of humanity, progress is going to be tough. And there's just so many variables, and it's so nuanced and complicated, but it's got to start with truly valuing people as people.
John, what do listeners today not understand about what's happening in neighborhoods right now that they need to understand?
I think what people need to understand is that these events, they're not just these one-off random acts. There has been systemic inequities and injustices and decades and centuries of trauma that have torn families apart, that have led to disinvestment in communities and devaluing of people and kind of looking at people as others or less than. And until we start to understand the circumstance that led to an event and that person's journey along the way, we're always going to be looking at the surface. And often, even if we're coming from a good intention, the solutions may very well and, in fact, often do perpetuate the very problem we're otherwise seeking to solve.
Talia, what's your reaction to John's comment there?
I mean, I totally agree. You know, we've been working pretty closely with our nonprofit partners like Inner City Weightlifting and Loca Boston to really try to strategize to find solutions to some of the issues that John raised.
John, let's talk about programming. I'm assuming you can't run a gym in the same way you did before the COVID-19 crisis. I know that's just one part of what Inner City Weightlifting does. And I understand you're now offering virtual personal group workouts. But how else have you adapted, and how are other programs going to need to adapt in this strange new normal?
Our promise to the people in our program has always been to simply be there for them so that they don't have to feel like they have to solve their challenges alone. We try to position ourselves as a partner. And that doesn't change whether you're face-to-face or virtual. There are plenty of challenges in this virtual world. But there's also a lot of opportunity that comes when the in-person restrictions are lifted. And I think that what programs are going to have to do, certainly what we've done, is there's plenty of uncertainty, but to really just lean into the opportunities that are forming by this. So we've restructured our case management. We've kind of created a much tighter protocol, so to speak, for our staff as to what information we're trying to get from the people in our program and their families so we can best position ourselves to leverage our network to connect some of those dots. If it means just making that load just a little bit lighter, that's our goal now. So it's really just leaning into what this current and new world going forward is going to be and leveraging those opportunities.
Talia, Reverend Jeffrey Brown has said that he's optimistic that the city will be able to come together on these issues despite the pandemic, but expressed some concern about whether there will be resources to support the wide range of groups like an Inner City Weightlifting. Here's what he said.
I'm always concerned about the dearth of support that is given to local community groups in order to address the issue of violence. And with not only this country shutting down, but the state shutting down, it becomes an increasing concern about how we're going to be able to do that.
So, Talia, last question to you. Are there enough resources? Are you concerned about resources right now?
We're always concerned about resources. always concerned about resources. And I agree that, there's going to be this increased need from the philanthropic community to help our city rebound.
All right. Well, that's Talia Rivera, Director of Street Outreach, Advocacy, and Response for the City of Boston. Talia, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
And John Feinman, the founder and executive director of Inner City Weightlifting. John, good to talk to you. Thanks.
Thank you.